Father God, I just thank you for your grace today. Lord, I rely upon you. I ask you now that you grant me utterance to speak this morning. God, give me ears to hear your voice, Lord, that I may speak your word, the very oracles of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I say it often, but when a person is born again, born of the Spirit, of life in Christ, they don't become an improvement on the old, but they become a brand new creation, right? A totally new creation. And but the enemy is a thief, and the enemy is an identity theft thief, you know. He wants to keep God's people from knowing who they truly are in Him, so that they will accept a false identity. And so one of the big problems we face today is identity theft, because not only do people lose their money, but their name and their reputation is stolen and used. So it really affects a person, it robs a person of the influence that they were meant to have. So if you don't understand your identity, you won't live out who you are. You'll probably try to live somebody you're not. A hypocrite, again, is an actor. We're not just to act like Christians. We are to become Christians. Amen? And when we're born again, there's a transformation that takes place in our hearts. But then there is a disconnect between what's happened positionally for us in Christ, where we've been united with Him in our spirit, amen? But then our minds have to be renewed through the knowledge of Him and who we are in Him, who He is in us. And if we don't know who we are, then we won't be the influence we should be in this world. And so a lot of Christians even don't really understand their identity, who they really are. So they live below their potential. God wants us to reach our full potential in Him according to the measure of grace He gives each one of us. I don't want to finish my life and say, well, I knew God had a plan for me. I just never knew what it was. You can ask some people that, you know, have been around for a few years and they may say something such as, well, you know, God must have a plan for my life because I'm still here. Well, yes, I think it's a good idea that you discover that plan, especially if you're in your later years. We don't have time to waste. Time is precious. God gives you and I a window of opportunity, amen, to complete the assignment for our lives. And we cannot live the Christian life if we don't know who a Christian is, if we don't believe we are who God says we are. Satan attempts to rob us of our God-given identity by replacing the truth of who we are in Christ with a lie. I was mentioned, I think it was on Wednesday, I mentioned North Korea, how I've watched, I watched a video of people that had kink that came out of North Korea into the South. And these people, all they've known all their lives was slavery, you know, being under that oppression. And so they're blown away when they come into freedom, such as South Korea, and they see how wealthy, affluent people are, you know, how people are able to say what they want for the most part, do what they want for the most part, and not be completely under control. And because some of these people have been slaves all of their life under communism, they find it very difficult sometimes to assimilate into a free culture, for free society. And that's kind of how it was with Israel, wasn't it? When they came out of Egypt, they came out of bondage. All they'd known for 400 years was bondage. And now all of a sudden they're free and they're like, well, what do we do with our freedom? Are you hearing me? I've never known this. This is strange. And so you've heard it said, God pulled them out of Egypt, amen, but then he had to get Egypt what? Out of them. And so there has to be a transformation in our thinking. Our thinking needs to align with the truth of who we are in Christ. Not according to the old identity that we were born with in Adam, the fallen sinful nature, you know, that we inherited through our forefathers, but who we are in the new creation. So what takes place when a person is born again is an internal separation, right? Or circumcision, if you will, of the heart. So the old life is separated, amen, from the new life. What the enemy wants to do is reconnect you to the old life and keep you there. So you're trying to live a double identity. You want to live Adam life and you want to live the new life in Christ, but you can't mix the two. You can't live under law and you can't live under grace simultaneously. Or you'll never become who you're supposed to be and live out God's plan for your life. Because without him, we can what? We can do nothing. So our help comes from the Lord. Our ability comes from the Lord. It is by the grace of God we are who we are today. It's not of ourselves in the sense that Jesus is the one that redeemed us. He's the one that paid the price, amen, that we deserve to pay. He's the one that led us out of debtor's prison, amen, so that we could walk in a new, brand new, totally new life. Amen. And he wants us to walk free from the past, free from what was, and embrace what is now in the new creation and live from that reality. In other words, he wants us to live from heaven now, because in Christ, our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven through the new birth. Amen. We have been reconnected to God. Hallelujah. By the Holy Spirit. Amen. And by the blood that sanctifies, qualifies us to be in his presence. So the devil doesn't want us to realize who we are. And he seeks to keep us from knowing the truth so he can continue to project upon us a false identity. And that's why it's so important that we desire the sincere milk of the word. Amen. We get into the word and we discover, amen, who we are in Christ. I used this example before, but when I was an 8-year-old, my dad put me into guitar lessons. Okay, but I wanted to jam. I didn't want to have to do all that theory, okay, and tablature. So I would just learn some chords and I'd start jamming, you know, and I'd go and I'd show off to my teacher I could do a little bit of jamming, you know, but he was trying to get me to learn the notes. Okay, and I remember being up in the demilitarized zone in Korea and I had nothing to do. We're in a bunker up there, basically. And I had those Mi-Mi's, remember the little ear things, these little players, they had a cassette. And I used to put that in my ears, and then I had a little guitar up there, and I'd just kind of be listening to tunes and listen to Chicago and stuff and trying to figure out what they were playing. And so I started to learn a lot of stuff by ear, okay, listening to the music. And then later on, I discovered that I have to know some tablature. I do need to know some chords at least, right? And know what they are. So then I began to discover, okay, what I was actually playing. I was playing the song, but I didn't know what it was. I couldn't explain to you what I was playing. Are you hearing me, somebody? So when you're born again, you become a new creation, but then your mind has to be told, this is who you are now. This is who you are in him now. And so we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind because we're all born again, but we still have that slave mentality, amen, that had attached us to the world. And God says, you're separated from that old life. I've circumcised you. I've cut you apart from that, amen. You don't have to be tethered to that anymore because you're a free person in Christ, but you can't walk free, listen, until you know that you're free. You won't live free until you believe that you are free. So the enemy gets into your head and tells you you're bound. You're an addict. You're this. You're that. And he tries to point at your past. He tries to keep you tethered to something that God has already positionally set you free from, but your mind is still keeping you in bondage to it. Is that making sense? So we need to discover who we are in Christ and who he is in us. And if our identity in Christ is hidden from us through a lack of knowledge, then he can keep us from living out our God-given purpose. We all know John 10:10 very well. The thief comes what? To steal, to kill, to destroy, right? So listen, Satan is threatened by those who know their true identity in Christ. He's threatened by those who live from that reality. We're supposed to live from the new creation. That's what Paul was trying to say. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, right? It's not I that live, but Christ in me. There was a circumcision of the heart. He was a new creation, and he had to live from that new creation. Amen? And he had to deny that other part of him from having an audience. It's like speak to the hand past, right? Speak to the hand flesh. I'm not listening. You have no audience here. Put to death the misdeeds of the body, right? So in 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It says, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When you're born again, you're taken out of darkness and into the light of Christ. Your circumcision, you're cut off from that old life. Amen. But the enemy wants to keep you tethered to the old life by getting you to dwell on it, to think on it. That's why we are to reckon ourselves indeed dead to sin, but alive unto God. In other words, I am dead to sin, but alive unto God. Now, John tells us if you claim you have no sin, you lie. Amen? And the truth is not in you. However, what he's saying there is that you still have that old Adamic nature that's kind of like a corpse that you drag around with you. Amen? It's been cut off, separated. But the enemy wants you to resurrect that old life and go back into it. Reconnect with it. Reattach to it. Are you hearing me? So in the sense that it's not sins, but if we say we have no sin, that means we still have that old nature that has to be crucified. It has to be put to death. Amen? But we're supposed to focus on the new creation, and we're supposed to set our affections on things above where Christ is seated. We're supposed to be so heavenly minded that we're earthly good. You can't be earthly good until you're heavenly minded. And some people are no earthly good, but they think they're heavenly minded. But if you're heavenly minded, you'll be earthly good. You'll be representing the kingdom. Amen. You'll be bearing fruit for the Lord. You'll be an effect. You'll be a sign and a wonder that the world will look at and say, wow, look what the Lord has done. We're supposed to live from this new identity as sons and daughters. And God wants us to supernaturally impact the world around us. So Peter says, the first thing is that you are a chosen generation. Ephesians 1:4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So this is not something that we achieve, but it's a present reality in Christ. That means in Christ we are now citizens of heaven, not when we get to heaven, but now. Are you hearing me? It's coming to a knowledge of the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You need to know who you are now in the new creation as being not a patch job, amen, but a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. So in other words, we're supposed to live from heaven to earth. We're supposed to live from heaven. Why? Because we have been united in Christ and seated where in the heavenly places. When you're born again, amen, the Spirit of Christ connects you to Him, and positionally we are with Him. Amen? He is our life now. So we live from His life now. As our spirit is united with His spirit, we are quickened, amen? And then my soul has to submit to the will of the Spirit. And then I can be earthly good. Externally, amen, in the world. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is where? In heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It also says that we are a royal priesthood in Christ. That means we offer spiritual sacrifices to God. What are those? How about sacrifices of prayer, of thanksgiving, of praise? Amen. And as a royal priest, we can now boldly enter the sanctuary of heaven. We have access to the Father's throne now because we are a priesthood. Not because we did good today and therefore God lets me come to Him. Are you hearing me? Because if we're looking at ourselves to be the qualifier for being in His presence, amen, no flesh will glory in His presence. The only reason we have access to the Father is because the blood of Christ covers us. Amen? He qualifies us to be in His presence. It's not because I'm good that I get to come to God. Amen? Are you hearing me, somebody? Because if you live that way, you're only going to be doing as good as you are at the time, and as soon as you fail, well, I'm no longer good. I'm good as long as I'm doing good, but as soon as I do bad, now I'm bad. And you're in this bondage between good and bad. Are you hearing me? What we need to do is understand that God brought us from death into life. We're supposed to live from life and not from law. We live in a relationship now with the Holy Spirit who's within us, who is the one who writes upon our hearts, amen, His law. He teaches us. He says, this is the way. Walk in it. And there's life and peace in the Spirit. So the enemy's always trying to get us to look to ourselves as a standard of righteousness. Every time we do that, he brings us back under guilt and condemnation and shame. Because our eyes are upon self and not on Jesus, who is my righteousness. I'm only righteous because He makes me righteous. And when you know and believe that you are righteous, you will live righteous. When you believe that you are righteous in Christ, then you will bear the fruit of Christ, righteousness. You and I can produce no righteousness. We can do good works, but if those works are not motivated by the love of Christ, by the Spirit of God, they're wood, hay, and stubble. Come on. We want enduring works, right? We want to be led of the Spirit. We want to obey the voice of the Lord and do what He's telling us to do. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Because we do not have the ability in ourselves to live the life we are called to. So we're a royal priesthood. In the Old Testament, Israel was to be a kingdom of priests. Exodus 19:6. He says, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now, of course, Israel, in their humanity, in their flesh, in their own ability, could not live up to that standard. Are you hearing me today? Amen. Even though that was a perfect standard, it was a holy law, a righteous law. Amen. But because we're human and because we had been born in Adam, amen, with that corrupt nature, we are incapable of living up to the perfect standard of God's law. And that's why the law of God, the Word of God, became flesh. became just like Adam, like us, amen? And he became sin for us. He became our sacrifice. God the Father laid upon Jesus what? The sins of us all, praise God, hallelujah. I don't have to carry it anymore, praise God. My past is redeemed, my future is secure in Christ, amen? And I have life and peace as long as my eyes are upon the Lord and I'm relying upon His grace. Because you can't live under law and grace at the same time. Either you're in grace or you're under law. If you try to live both, then you become double-minded, unstable in all of your ways. You never find stability. Because what you believe will determine what you receive. Do you believe you're forgiven? You see, you'll live forgiven if you believe you're forgiven. But if you don't trust the Lord and trust His word, that He said if you're faithful, He's faithful and just to forgive us, amen? If we do what? Confess our sins. How many have ever confessed a sin to God and the next thing you know, you're back confessing it again? What happened there? I think the old devil came along and said, you ain't really forgiven. You haven't done enough yet. You haven't worked hard enough for that forgiveness. Are you hearing me? And He puts us into bondage if we believe the lie. What we do is we claim with our confession what God has said. What I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth. God, Your word says, if I confess, You're faithful and just to forgive me. And what? Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I receive that. I receive forgiveness. I don't achieve it. I don't earn it. I can only receive the mercy, the grace of the Lord. Amen? It's what you believe. In the new covenant, Revelation 1:6, it says, He has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. So as a royal priesthood, we are to be influencers for God, amen, in this world. He also says that in the new covenant, and these are the titles that God gave to Israel, amen. He says you're also a holy nation in the Lord, in Christ, amen. And God's special people. As you know, Israel was to be a nation distinguished by holiness. But the Israelites failed to do this, so Israel has been set aside temporarily, and the church is now God's holy nation. I didn't say they're permanently. Amen. But God is removing the veil and they're beginning to understand, hallelujah, that Jesus is the Messiah, praise God. Because God's bringing together in one new man, both Jew and Gentile, amen. For Christ in Christ is no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus, amen. We all have to come the same way, and that's through Jesus the Son, amen. There's only one intermediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. So you call upon the only name, the only one who can save you. Amen. And that's Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the way. So when we become a child of God, when we come to Jesus in repentance and ask the Lord to forgive us, amen, and to make us His child, amen. God forgives you, amen. And He places His Holy Spirit in you, amen. And when the Spirit of God comes to dwell within you, you become a son and a daughter, amen, of the living God. You become born again, amen. And now you can live a heavenly life in the earthly realm. Because heaven is in your heart. Because by the Spirit we are connected to Him, amen, who lives in heaven. So we're His possession, and therefore we're special value to the Lord. If we just judge ourselves by ourselves, we're going to realize that we fall short. Are you hearing me? And if we're looking to ourselves, amen, to be good enough for God to accept, then you'll never live in that freedom of forgiveness. Because what all we can do is cry out for the mercy of God, beat our breasts, amen, and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen? But I want to say this, and we try to explain it, because sometimes right away we can get defensive with this. But when you are born again, you become a child of God. You become a new creation. Amen. You receive, listen, an incorruptible nature. All right. So if we say we have no sin, means that sin nature still exists. But what's happened is we've been cut off from that. There's been a circumcision, amen? We've been detached from that, amen? So now we can live this brand new life in Christ in freedom. Hallelujah. Amen? A life of love in the Lord. So positionally in Christ, listen, in the new creation, I'm not a sinner. That's my old identity in Adam. Come on. The old man, right? The old girl is dead. So who am I in the new creation? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That is scriptural. But what you believe will determine what you receive and how you live. If you don't believe you're forgiven, if you don't believe you're righteous in Christ, then you will not produce the righteousness of Christ, because God always honors faith. Faith in what He has promised. We are children of promise today. I believe and therefore I receive from Him. Are you hearing me? I don't earn it. I don't achieve it. I receive it by faith that Jesus has settled it. Jesus has paid the price in full. Jesus has set me free, amen, from Adam. I'm no longer in Adam, but I'm in Christ now. I've been translated out of darkness, brought into His light. So now I need to live from that reality, the new creation. You don't have to focus on, oh, I did this wrong, I did that wrong. Focus on the Lord and what He has you to do, and walk free and stand fast, Galatians 5, in the freedom, right? In the liberty which is in Christ Jesus. Because the enemy wants to put you back under bondage again, to self, to law, to do's and don'ts. If you do enough good, you're righteous. You do enough too much bad, you're no longer righteous, right? You're corrupt. God is saying, live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Rely upon Me. My grace is sufficient for you. I'm able to make all grace abound to you. You can do all things through Me. I am the strength of your life. Do not trust yourself any longer. Turn away from you. It's good to be free from me. God is not interested in making you a better person. Huh? He makes you a new person. And you live from that new reality. Are you getting it? Well, I'm getting better. No. You're learning how to live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in your new identity. As you're discovering who you are in Christ, amen? Otherwise, we're just improving. And most of that is on me anyways, to improve. Amen. It's by the power of God that we can control what we do in our body. Amen. And if you have a relationship with the Lord, you don't want to do the things that grieve Him. Amen. When you love the Lord, you obey Him, He said. All right. So obedience isn't this thing, if I don't, I'm going to hell. It's like, I don't want to do those things anymore because they grieve the one that loves me. Amen. And I don't want to grieve the one I love. Second Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. So I need to first think as a new person before I can live as a new person. That's where the transformation takes place. The transforming of our minds. I have to start thinking as a new person. I have to start thinking that I am free, believing that I am free. Come on. If you believe you're still a slave to sin, you'll continue to be a slave to sin. But I have to receive my freedom that's in Christ. I have to confess it even, to say, Lord, thank you that I'm not an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. No, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Hallelujah. Paul had all kinds of things he could have felt sorry for. Okay, he could have beat himself up all the time if he was reflecting on the things of his past. What did he say? Forgetting what is behind. He's not living in that life anymore. He was a new creation in Christ, and he had a mandate. He had an assignment from the Lord. He wanted to live it out, amen, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is only by the Holy Spirit he could do what he could do. Because again, God's calling for your life is bigger than you are. It's beyond what we can do naturally, so that we rely upon the Spirit of God. And when we are leaning on, relying upon the Holy Spirit of God, then the Spirit of God is manifested through our lives. People are touched by the Lord through us. Because we're not presenting ourselves to people. I give you Jesus. Hang in there. We live in a world driven by appearance, performance, and pleasure. You know, that outer man. Exposed to so much. 1 John 2:16 says, "For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world." Unfortunately, some Christians are captured by the world's way of thinking. If we do not understand who we are in Christ, we will look to the world's standards to define us. You know, you've heard it said, keeping up with the Joneses. Well, I'm supposed to dress a certain way, walk a certain way, have my hair a certain way, drive a certain car, have a certain house, come on, so that the world esteems me as being somebody important or special. We only have one here that we need to please, amen? We need to be free from the opinions of people. Our value is not found in what we own, hear me, how we look, or even what we do, even though what we do is important, but in who we are in Christ. Again, our value is not in what we own, how we look, or even what we do, but in who we are in Christ. In other words, if the world says this makes you important, I can be a slave to the world's opinion. I have to look, dress, act a certain way to be accepted by the world. And if you don't know your true identity, you'll try to be what everybody else wants you to be. You'll have confusion, identity confusion, if you're letting the world define who you are as a person. I think the best one we should compare ourselves to is our Creator, the one who made us in His image. I want to be like Jesus. How about you? So if we think our value is in just what we do, for example, then if I don't achieve the goal that I set for myself, then I'm crushed. Because I'm worthless. I'm no good. I'm of no value because I failed in something that I attempted to achieve. Some people have dropped out of the race. They've been shipwrecked because they tried in their own efforts to live up to a standard that they could never live up to, because they were trusting in themselves to do what God wanted them to do. Are you hearing me? I know what God expects, but I can't do it. That's right. Because what you're called to do requires the power of the Holy Spirit. God quickens you. God makes you a supernatural person. So you can do all things through Him, Christ, who is the strength of your life. So God wants people to walk in the freedom that is in Christ, understanding my identity as a new creation. Amen. That God is no longer holding my past against me. You hear that voice coming up and remind you of your past? Come on. Remember the old saying, remind him of his future, right? But we don't listen to that voice. We listen to the voice of truth. The voice of truth says, your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more. No longer held against you, paid in full. Amen. Set free from the power of sin to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and a brand new life. Come on. No longer vacillating between the two. I live from heaven now. As a citizen of heaven, as already having been made free from the power of sin. All right. As God's people, our value is in who we are. We no longer rely upon ourselves, but upon the power of God to live the life we are called to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Many people, even Christians, are slaves to what people think. They work very hard to receive acceptance and validation from the people of this world. People commit suicide. Young people do sometimes because they can't live up to the standard the world has put on them. Some girls think they're ugly. They're beautiful, but they think they're ugly because the world has set this other thing up as a standard of something you should achieve if you're going to be somebody. Are you hearing me? In other words, the enemy's always trying to give people a false identity. They can't be content in who they are and in the way God has made them. They have to be somebody else. If God wanted you to be somebody else, He would have made you somebody else. First Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Amen? Amen? We rely upon the power of God. So many people are really bound by the opinions of men. But you know, our acceptance, our validation comes from the Lord. Same thing with Jesus. Amen? He received His validation from who? The Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hallelujah. He didn't look to man to validate Him. Amen. He wasn't trying to be accepted by man. He only wanted to be validated by the Father. Amen. And He knew who He was. We need to know who we are in the new creation. Sons and daughters. Forgiven. Accepted. Approved by God. Not as something I achieve or live up to. But as something that God has done by His grace. In my life, and my mind needs to conform to the truth of what's happened in me. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. I'm more than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. What? I'm a brand new man. Hallelujah. So in Christ, we're supposed to live from the place of already being forgiven and accepted and approved by God. So why do some people get discouraged and even defeated in their Christian life? Because of wrong focus. Again, you cannot rely upon yourself to be righteous. You'll never be righteous enough. And that's the problem with world religions, as people are bound by standards that are unattainable. Undoable. Trying to, if you will, buy their stairway to heaven. Jesus has opened the floodgates. The way into the holiest has been opened. Now we can come confidently by the blood of Christ. Amen. Into the very throne of our Father. Not based upon our righteousness or how good we are, but based upon His righteousness that He has imputed to us in the new creation. If I believe that I am righteous in Christ, then I will live righteously. If I don't believe that, then I will look to myself to be the standard of righteousness. And every time I do that, I see how far short I fall. Why? Because in myself, there's no good thing, like Paul said. In myself, I don't have the ability to live the Christian life. As a matter of fact, apart from Christ, come on, the Christian life is impossible. Imagine that. Without Him, we can't do it. So God says, forgetting those things which are behind, forget your past, forget what was. I've forgiven you. I've released you from that. Amen. You're actually set free. Now I want you to learn who you are in the new creation so that you can live out my purpose. Amen. Free from that bondage, from that guilt, and from that shame, which will keep you tethered to your past, and it will hinder you in living out God's purpose. Because if we're going to serve the Lord, we can't do it with a guilty conscience. We just say, thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for your blood. Second Corinthians 5:21, here it is. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might what? Become the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, I'm not talking about self-righteousness. I'm talking about righteous in Christ. Who is my righteousness? The world is self-righteous. Come on. I'm righteous because I do righteous things. No, you're not. Who you are naturally is worse than anything you do. You need to be born again. You need to come out of Adam and into Christ. Once you come into Christ, then you live from that place in Him. I live as a free person. I live forgiven. I'm getting happy up here. I'm preaching myself happy this morning. So in Christ, we're to live from the place of already being forgiven, accepted and approved by God. Not as something I achieve or live up to. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. And again, if a person does not believe they are righteous in Christ, they will attempt to be righteous in their own strength and willpower. How does that work for you? So listen to what Paul said to the Corinthian church. I'm almost through. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus. Who? God, the Father, in His grace, right? Who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is all that for us. He makes me all that. I'm all that in Him. Not in me, but in Him. I'm all that. Oh, you're all that. Yeah, I'm all that in Christ. No, the devil doesn't want people to believe this. He wants to put people in a continual striving, come on, to improve themselves. Now, what you believe will determine how you live. It's a finished work. I've been sanctified in Christ, set apart. I'm no longer in Adam. I'm in Christ. I'm no longer in death. I'm in life. I no longer live under the law. I live now under the law of the Spirit. I live in the grace of God. And I have the power of God, amen, to help me to control what I do in my body. Amen. There it says in verse 31, that as it is written, he who glories, what? Let him glory in the Lord. Why? Because it ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's what He did. It's about Him making me righteous. The Lord Jesus took the place of us sinners at the cross. He alone had lived up to God's perfect standard, purchased our salvation on the tree of Calvary. Now we can be justified by faith alone in the shed blood of Christ. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by works, faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having received the truth, received the report, believe the report that God gave us concerning His Son and our salvation and our freedom in Him. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation, praise God. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I live from that truth. And that is the truth that not only sets me free, but keeps me free. When the enemy comes with his lies to put you back under bondage, say no. No. My righteousness is in Christ. Because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. So don't allow the devil to try and reattach you to your old life, your old identity, as a hopeless, lost sinner and a slave to performance. I don't use that term. I'm sorry. I don't say, well, I'm just a sinner. I was a sinner saved by grace. But I don't claim to be a sinner saved by grace. Do I sin? Yes. Amen. But I am no longer tethered to Adam. I'm no longer in sin because I've been set free from the power of sin through the circumcision that is in Christ Jesus, who has liberated me from my old life. And now I can walk in a brand new life. Hallelujah. And rely upon the power of God. Amen. To keep that old man dead every day. Hallelujah. To no longer let him, the devil, reattached me to that life. Remember Israel, because they had a slave mentality, they wanted to go back to Egypt. It was too much for them to be in this freedom all of a sudden. They had to be responsible then. Yeah. It would just be easier just to go back to Egypt. See, God had literally set them free by the blood of the Lamb. Come on, they were brought out of bondage. God did it. He said, I bore you on eagle's wings. I brought you to myself. You didn't do it. I did it. So they came out. Okay? But they still had that slave mentality. And what God wanted to do is He wanted to wean them off themselves and everything that they were familiar with and everything that was attached to their past. And He was going to teach them His ways. Amen? He was going to feed them His word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He was preparing His people, amen, to go into the promise that He had for them up ahead. Hallelujah. So God takes you out of Egypt to bring you into His promise, amen. But it's in that in-between time right now where there's a renewing process in our minds, amen, that our minds need to conform to what has actually taken place in us positionally in Christ when I have been born again and a circumcision of my heart has taken place. Is that making sense? Okay, here it is. I'm almost through. Colossians 3:1. Since you have been raised to new life in Christ, if you're born again, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life. And your real life is hidden with Christ in God. So God is inviting you and I into a reality that is far superior to the one we see with our natural eyes. Sky's the limit. Open heaven. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. So the Lord wants us to think from His world. Amen. He wants us to see things as He sees it. And He wants us to see ourselves as He sees us. I'm not the standard of righteousness before God. Amen? He is. He's my righteousness. Hallelujah. You see, if you believe you're righteous in Christ, you'll live righteously. If you believe that you're free from the power of sin, you'll live free from the power of sin. If you believe that you're a new creation, you'll live as a new creation. If you believe that you're a citizen of heaven, then you'll walk, amen, as a citizen of heaven, even in this earth. So how do I receive that reality? Again, it's by changing the way I think. In Christ, you're no longer your own. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. There it is. Set apart, right? It is no longer I who live. He says the old man is dead, right? But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul could only live the life he lived by the grace of God, relying upon him, not on himself. So no more living from what was. It's time to start living from what is. I always say it this way, hit the reset. Just hit the reset on the past. Boom. All right, that was then, this is now. Amen. Live forgiven. Live free from the power of sin. Live as one who has died with Christ and raised from the dead to walk in a totally new life of righteousness. And this place of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:10, I finish. For we are his workmanship. Who did it? God did it. Who does it? God does it. For what purpose? Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works don't validate us, but because we're validated, we do good works. Because we're justified, amen, we can live free of guilt and condemnation and free from a guilty conscience, right? So we can serve the Lord. Because it's God who prepared beforehand that we should walk in these good works. Amen. Now, I finish. I said that already. Now may the God of hope, last one. I love this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Oh. Joy and peace in striving, working, struggling, believing. That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Huh. That word believing, by the way, means to have faith in. And it's the same word you find in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So we believe what God said. That's why it's good that we maintain our confession. That's why even the early church gave creeds for Christians to repeat. I believe in God the Father, right? Maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ the Son, our Lord, right? We call it the Apostles' Creed, but anyways, there are creeds in the Word of God that are there to remind us of who we are and who He is. Communion causes us to reflect on what God has done for us. Amen. It's a reminder that I belong to him. He belongs to me. We are in a marriage covenant. Amen. In the new covenant. Hallelujah. I'm no longer under the old law. I'm in the new covenant in his blood. Having been set free, now I can have fruit unto holiness. Amen. Unto eternal life. That's what God wants for his people. He wants you to maintain your freedom, walk in that freedom. Quit listening to that other voice. If it conflicts with the word of God, amen, throw it out. Don't listen to it. Don't give an audience to it. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Hallelujah. All right. Have you enjoyed this morning?
Amen.
So did I. Can you tell? We need to remind ourselves. Amen. I'm not who I was. I'm a new creation. All right? I'm going to live from that place of freedom, of forgiveness. Live free. Live forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you that you did it, Lord. Hallelujah. You took those things that were written against us. Amen? That law. And you nailed it to your cross. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabba Roko Shiba. All those transgressions, everything, amen, he took it away. And now he gives us his spirit. He writes that law on our hearts. So he says, this is the way. Walk in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Walk in your freedom. Walk in your new life. Rely upon His grace. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.